All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Toilets and Titles. My name is Justin Stevens. Thanks for joining us again. As you notice, I almost jumped right into the coach's little tidbit that he says when he jumps on here. So I didn't mean that just came out. But I've got the Frito Bandito with me tonight. I've got Rich himself, Rich Gonzalez. How are we doing tonight?
Doing great, great. Ready to do a little talk, a little chat.
Yep.
What happened over the weekend?
You want to forget about what happened over the weekend?
I want to talk about what happened over the weekend.
Oh, you're talking about the draft.
There you go.
Oh, okay. All right. So you have a good weekend yourself, though?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I celebrated an anniversary with my wife. So went out and celebrated, drank a little beverages, drank a little food, ate some food, and actually got my first pedicure. A little embarrassed I'm saying that online, but hey.
Hey, that's sweet, man. That's sweet. You're a better man than me, that's for sure.
Yeah, I won't do it again.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that experience, Rich?
Now let's move on.
All right, we'll move on. All right, so we're going to talk about the NFL draft recap, our reactions to some of the key players that we saw from the 2021 NFL draft. This is episode 55. I'm going to do a little house cleaning here first. Make sure you check us out at Toilets and Titles. That's our main show Twitter handle, at Coach Sheps. He's not with us tonight. He's chilling out, watching some movies, and trying to bounce back. He's not feeling the greatest tonight. So we're gonna chug along without him. And those of you at home watching can watch his train wreck with us. At JustinFF_ for me, my boy, at R Gonzalez, RM. Of course, you know, you can still check out at Nate_Dirt19 and the rest of the gang also on Twitter down here at the scroll at the bottom. We're also on When a Family Breaks live on Facebook, and you can also check out our Facebook page as well. Please hit that like and subscribe button for us just to help us out. I know that we're not getting it based off of our abilities right now, but I promise you it's going to get better. You can see us or listen to us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Facebook, Podbean. Like I said, When a Family Breaks, Spotify, all of that. Don't forget our Frankenstein giveaway. We're going to give away at least, I think it's at least three free giveaways for our Frankenstein Listeners League just by giving us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I want to do the read right now for Primetime Sports Talk. Today's episode is brought to you by Primetime Sports Talk, your top source for all major sports content, including DFS, fantasy advice, and great gambling tips. Be sure to head to http://primetimesportstalk.com to check out their in-depth analysis, exclusive articles, fascinating interviews, and explore the rest of their amazing podcast family. Again, primetimesportstalk.com, your go-to spot for sports content. All right, Rich, I think that's it for the house cleaning. So we're ready to jump right into this. And I'm going to start us off with the first round. Actually, before we do the first round, let's talk about our favorite draft as far as team goes. We only have three of them written down, myself, you, and Coach, the ones that we thought were going to be able to make it tonight. So I'm going to go over the Jets for Coach real quick. He had written down here the Jets he felt did the best in the draft in his mind. Maybe that has something to do with the fact that they have a new head coach this year, former defensive coordinator Robert Salia. The Jets predominantly in the past have picked up talent in the draft. They've just never really known what to do with it. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Zach Wilson, who they got in the first round, Vera Tucker, and then Elijah Moore, the talented wide receiver out of Ole Miss, Michael Carter. They did need a running back. I was kind of surprised to see that they waited that long for a running back. Rich, what do you think that backfield's going to look like?
I don't know. It's going to be an interesting backfield. P. Ryan, you know, he kind of went around the same spot last year when they drafted him, so it's going to kind of be like a running back committee. So I hope Carter excels from the gate and maybe takes over a huge amount of those shares, but I just think right now and stuff like that, it's going to be a running back by committee starting out.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably just much like last year. It's probably just a backfield that you're going to want to avoid, at least until we find out a little bit closer to the season to see where they lie and see how the new offense is going to look and see how old Zach Wilson is going to be running that offense. And it was kind of a little bit of a surprise for some that Zach Wilson went that high. I mean, I know leading up to it, the last few days leading up to the draft, everybody was whispering and talking Zach Wilson. But I mean, I don't know about you, but personally, I still did not think that he was the best player on the board at that time.
No, I agree with you. You know, he's kind of been that spot, you know, that everybody knew who that he was, they were going to take. You know, everybody, you know, wanting Justin Fields to go there. And I don't know, time will see how it goes and everything. Now, don't get me wrong, Zach Wilson ain't going to be a bad QB. I mean, they actually set him up well, you know, drafting, you know, the line Tucker and then, you know, getting those key pieces to kind of support him. You know, a lot of people said if the Jets would have done this with Darnold there, maybe they would be in a different situation.
Yeah, that's true. And it's funny that you mentioned that that everybody kind of thought that Justin Fields was going to go there, because that kind of segues into my favorite team of the draft, the Chicago Bears. I felt like the Bears did an incredible job with this draft. Not only did they go out and get Justin Fields, who I felt was at the very least the second best quarterback in this draft, for fantasy purposes, he could potentially be the best, especially, I mean, landing with a little bit better overall team. Also, they went out and got two offensive tackles with their next two picks in the second round and the fifth round. So they're trying to bolster that offensive line a little bit to protect Fields in that backfield. Then they got Khalil Herbert, who's kind of underrated. He went in the sixth round. I was kind of surprised. He's a very talented back out of Virginia Tech. I kind of see him being able to steal carries right out the gate. I know he's going to be the third down back. They're going to be healthy, and David Montgomery did show that he is talented in spots, but he was talented when he had a lot of opportunity and when they had an easier opponent. So it's kind of one of those things. We don't really know exactly how talented Montgomery is just yet. So it'll be interesting to see Khalil Herbert contribute to the team. Daz Newsome out of North Carolina in the sixth round. Then they got a couple more defensive guys at the end. So I really like what the Bears did for this offense, especially. And I think that they're going to try to do a little bit better job of that around Justin Fields' passing style. And I think that they could be successful with it. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with Andy Dalton and Nick Foles back there. Most teams don't carry three quarterbacks, but they got a lot of veteran experience, at least for Justin Fields to follow. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they start out the season. I would still like to think that they're going to start out with Dalton, just to get started the season going and everything. And depending on how the season goes, bring in Fields, kind of like situation with the Dolphins last year. They did a great job picking up those two offensive tackles that they're going to work in, just to get ready for that future. You know. To protect him, you know, Khalil Herbert, you know, we've talked about him, you know, just being, you know, coach was big on him, just to being overall, you know, good a little bit at everything, not great at one thing, but just overall great. The thing I don't know about it is, you know, you got Montgomery back there, plus they're bringing Cohen back. So another, you know, tough situation where Khalil Herbert probably ain't going to produce much at the beginning of the season and get limited touches, but work his way in, depending on what happens with Montgomery.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand that completely. And I've always been a big fan of Cohen as the third down back. He's very shifty, very talented. So, but I want to talk a little bit more about the team that you chose. And there's one particular reason why I want to talk about them, because PFF.com gave them a C on their draft. And I couldn't believe that. Based off of the talent that they drafted, this was definitely much better than a C-level draft. And that's the Pittsburgh Steelers, Rich. Why did you choose the Pittsburgh Steelers as your team with the best draft of the season?
Man, I mean, I thought they did an awesome job. You sit there and think about it. You know, they drafted Najee Harris 24th overall. Day one starter on that team. You know, kind of reminds you of Le'Veon Bell going there now, if you really sit there and think about it. You know, they already got three great receivers, you know, Young, you know, and, you know, with Najee Harris. And then you sit there and think about Pat Freiermuth, you know. He's going to be sneaky good. I mean, we've talked about him a lot, but it almost sets up with, you know, Ben, you know, he's going to go in and do what he does. But when he sets and decides to go off into that sunset, you got a good core to, you know, for that next quarterback that comes in and that is going to have that experience together to help support that next QB that comes in. I think this is a great way that they kind of set up for the future, depending on what happens with Ben.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Pat Freiermuth here in just a minute. Cause I've jotted him down in my second round thoughts that I wanted to kind of discuss, but real quick, just a quick rundown of some of the things that happened in the first round. You got Trey Lance to San Francisco. You got Pitts to the Falcons. Chase went to Cincinnati. Of course, Fields, what does he do for Cole Kmet, Wilson, Mac Jones? So these are just a list of the guys that we're going to be talking about for the first round, along with a couple others. But real quick, let's start off with let's just start here at the top with Trey Lance going to San Francisco. Do you think he starts right out the gate?
No, it really depends. I mean, how their season goes. Garoppolo, look, he's going to be your day one starter. You know, if they have a great season and looking to be a playoff run and everything, I don't see them pulling him. This is to get them ready for next year. Now, if he gets injured or that season just doesn't go that way, then yeah, he's going to jump in. But I just think this is still Garoppolo's team this year. And by no means don't, I'm not, I love Lance. I was more on other quarterbacks, but now that you start seeing how everything fell, I mean, he's going to be a good quarterback coming up if the team sets him up right.
Yeah, with this team around him, it's time for Garoppolo to succeed. He's got to stay healthy, and he has to succeed. I know they drafted Trey Lance a little high. Again, I don't think that he was the best quarterback to take in that spot. He doesn't have a lot of experience himself, even at the college level. So – for San Francisco to take him, it was pretty much telling me right away that, hey, he's going to sit for a year or two. Jimmy's still our guy for right now. So I agree with you on that. But I think Jimmy, with this talent around him, he's got a real opportunity to show himself. And if he doesn't do it this year, then he just doesn't have it. And he'll probably need to dial it back to being a backup somewhere. I think we're in agreement on that one. And I think we might be in agreement on this next one. I know that John is definitely in agreement on this one, but that's Matt Ryan with Pitts coming on as his new tight end / wide receiver, / overall talented beast. I know a lot of that is Twitter talk, but it's also kind of true. The dude is extremely talented. So, what does that do for Matt Ryan? Is he a buy now, even though he's an older quarterback?
He is. You have to jump on board. They already had, Jones, Ridley. You add him to it. Now, look, it just depends on how the season goes and how quick he learns onto this offense. He's generational talent and everything. But, man, when is the last time you've seen a tight end come in and just excel the first year? It's very tough for them to learn the offense and, you know, just everything in general. I hope he excels. Now, yeah, he is the future of the NFL, but I just don't see it this year. He's going to be a great talent, and he's going to have his bright moments this season. I am buying now Matt Ryan maybe for the next 2 years, but make sure you have someone else there to back him up.
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to say, kind of, except I was going to lean more towards redraft. So yeah. For redraft purposes, yeah, I am going to boost up Matt Ryan a little bit in my rankings. He's on again, off again. He, even with talented teams in the past, he has He's bit the dust on us for fantasy purposes sometimes. So you still got to be leery. You got to be careful. Don't draft him as your QB1. Don't get too overly excited about it. For dynasty purposes, I'm actually selling because of this Kyle Pitts news, because I think a lot of people will be higher on him. And I think that maybe you might be able to get a little bit more out of him this year than what you might have been able to get last year. And he's probably only got a few more years left. So right now might be that small window of opportunity for dynasty purposes to sell him. But like I said, for redraft purposes or win now mode, if you're trying to win that title now, he might be a good guy to go pick up.
Nah, that's a good call.
Let's see. We got Chase to Cincinnati. The question that we had on the show notes here is, who is to sell, Higgins or Boyd?
That's a tough one.
Yeah. I mean,
Burrow had good chemistry with Boyd last year when they were in there. Yeah, Higgins, it was, you know, he was still learning the system and everything. I just find it hard that he doesn't go away from Boyd starting out. So, and then, check, you know, once Chase jumps in and everything, they're going to be spreading that ball. But I just find it hard to sell on Boyd this first year. I mean, you know, to just get rid of him. I think they have that chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. I don't see a reason to necessarily go out and sell either one of them. I kind of, for dynasty purposes, I kind of like that shiny new toy, you know, and you got Higgins. He showed that he could potentially at least be a very dominant presence for Burrow. So if I had to choose one of them, I'm probably selling Boyd. I think that you're probably not going to get as much out of Boyd as you would a Higgins, but I think I would probably sell Boyd personally. But just straight up though, Ja'Marr Chase in that offense with his old teammate Joe Burrow, there's a real possibility for something special right there. So
from starting from the gate, I see that.
And I love stacks. Those of you that know me know that I love stacks. So if I already have Joe Burrow, I'm going to go out of my way to do all I can to try to get Ja'Marr Chase, just to keep that stack, because that's a stack that could potentially be, you know, your next Matt Ryan and Julio Jones for the next, you know, 10 years, 12 years, whatever. Not to say that Ja'Marr Chase is Julio Jones, you know, but I think Joe Burrow could definitely be Matt Ryan. But you see what I'm saying, though. That could definitely be a good connection to you for a long time. So,
yeah, I think if you're wanting to get more in a return right from the gate, you might want to trade Higgins and stuff like that over Boyd, because you'll probably get more in return for dynasty if you're really looking at that aspect.
Yeah, that's true, too. Yep, absolutely. So I guess, like you said, it just kind of depends on what you're looking for and why you're selling, why you're looking to sell. But obviously, that's going to be the case in any dynasty question. But speaking of questions, the next one is thoughts on Fields to Chicago. What does this do for Cole Kmet?
Yeah, this is one I actually threw this out there. I actually think this really brings his value up, especially for a new quarterback, you know, tight end wants to be friends with them and everything. Look, at the end of the season, Kmet was showing he had the potential to be that next tight end, instead of that future tight end that's going to score a lot of points for teams and everything. So I think this is a huge upgrade for him with them bringing in Fields.
Yeah. Who did we decide that this Facebook user was the other night?
That was a friend of you two.
I can't remember which one it was. So chat that back in there for me if you would, Facebook user. But yeah, he's right along in lines with us here. Matt Ryan is going to look like Breeze before too long. You're probably not too far off on that. And Higgins is a stud, absolutely. And I think he's going to show that even more. You know, wide receivers have that third year breakout once in a while. They could have a second year breakout. And I really think that you're going to see that this year with Higgins, now that he's got some real extremely good help on the other side. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch that combination. Let's see. The Jets, Wilson and Vera Tucker. Was it a good draft? I think John probably put this question down there because that was his team. Did you put that question down there?
No, that would have been him.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think that was a good start to what was a good draft. So yeah, I mean, I don't really know what else to say about that. I mean, they needed a quarterback. I probably wouldn't have went with Zach Wilson personally, but they did go with Zach Wilson. They like Zach Wilson. So And they'd been telling people several days ahead of time that they were going to go with him. So obviously they see something in him. And then and Vera Tucker, man, he can get the job done. So I don't see anything wrong with that draft at all.
Yeah, if you look at the Jets draft, I mean, we talked about this. Look, Wilson and Darnold, aren't they the same kind of QB, don't you think? The only difference is the Jets did it different this time, building around their rookie quarterback, you know?
Yeah, and Vera Tucker to help shore up the inside, that line on the inside. Maybe they're finally telling their fans, hey, listen, we're going to protect our quarterback this time, and we're going to try to make something out of this one. We're not going to waste this one like we did the last one.
Exactly.
But they also did that by finally firing their coach. But oh, hey, we were wrong. This one's Uncle Steve. No wonder he is agreeing with me on everything. Yeah, I don't know why it's saying Facebook user either. That happened a couple nights ago as well with one of
them. Yeah, it was someone different last time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we're not sure why either, Uncle Steve. But yeah, no, that explains why we're agreeing so much. All right. What else do we got here? What's next? What's next? Mac Jones.
New England. I don't know what your thoughts on it. I really thought the way everything was setting up, Patriots were going to go after Fields, you know, and Chicago snuck up and took him. But, I mean, I think Fields would have been a better fit there, the way New England's been setting up their offense this past year for Cam. So it kind of made sense at first. That's the direction they were going. But Mac Jones, hey, it's a great consolation quarterback to get. I mean, I do like him. Depends on how they set up for him after this season and everything, and depending on when he takes over. Do you think he takes over at all this year?
Hold on. I hate to admit that I wasn't listening, but I'm in the middle of a draft right now. So this is a rookie draft, and I'm up. So I'm telling the group right now to tune into YouTube to watch me announce my next pick. So you go ahead and talk all you want about Mac Jones. I'll be jumping in just a minute because I actually do have something I want to say about him.
Yeah, like I said, look, Mac Jones, you know, with the draft going on, everybody was thinking he was going three. And you know, it kind of lined up that they weren't going to, but they were being sneaky about who they were talking about going to the 49ers. But in the same token, I can't think of the coach's name. Just slipped my mind. Belichick, there you go. Belichick coming up and getting his quarterback and stuff like that, you know, maybe he's thinking that he's going to start all over with another decade run with Mac Jones, and maybe he fits a system once they build around him. I just don't see the way they're building right now. They're going to have to regroup again to build up around Mac Jones.
Yeah, well, we're in a disagreement in that one, so I'm glad we finally found one that we're disagreeing on. But we got John. He's at home watching. Hey, John. But yeah, so as far as the Mac Jones thing goes, first thing I want to say is, Shane P. Allum, you were in my head during the draft earlier. You messed with my head. We were working on a trade. I think you knew where I wanted to go, and I thought you were zigging when you were really zagging, and you got me good. You sniped me. And you took Mac Jones right away from me. So I was going after Mac Jones. I thought maybe I could get him at the 111. This is a super flex league. He was the fifth quarterback. Four were already taken. He was next on the list, right? And Shane dangled that 108 in front of me. I had my chance to take it. I didn't want to give up quite what he was asking, even though it was fair. I'm so difficult to trade with. I understand that. This is my own fault. I should have jumped on it, but I didn't. So instead, I got Javonte Williams at the 111. I'm perfectly okay with that. And Travis Etienne at the 112. So I got two running backs back to back. I needed a lot of running back help. But now I'm up again. So before I make my pick, though, I want to get off of this Mac Jones kick. And as far as Mac Jones to the Patriots goes, I like it. I really like the pick because I think that he has the potential to be an kind of like an Eli Manning level player, maybe a Matt Ryan level player, like maybe nobody super great, but somebody that's really good. And if they have the right tools around them, they could have a long career in the NFL. And for fantasy purposes, he could be your QB2 every single week, every single season. And for super flex purposes, you could be comfortable with that. I've been saying that so far all offseason, and I really truly believe that, especially in a New England Patriots offense where they do protect the quarterback, and they do, you know, they do have a history of running with the same quarterback for a while under Bill Belichick. Obviously, when you have Tom Brady, you're not going to look too far elsewhere anyway, but you never know. So he's usually, I mean, he's going to be going late in the first round, most likely. Shane took him a little too early just to get under my skin, I think, but I still love you, Shane, but we're going to fight later. All right. So my team is up. So I'm going to share my screen. This is the Too Legit League. Let me pull it up here. And you tell me, can you see that, Rich?
Yeah, no, my eyes ain't that good.
I mean, is it on the screen, though?
Yeah, it's on the screen, yeah.
Okay, cool. So you can see the first round so far. Pretty chalk at first for a super flex league with Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, but then Kyle Pitts went. This is a tight end premium, start two tight ends, so that's no surprise. Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, Jamar Chase, Najee Harris, Mac Jones, we've already talked about. Then I was kind of surprised to see Trey Sermon and Jalen Waddle go before Javonte Williams, but they did, so I took advantage of that and jumped on that Javonte Williams. Travis Etienne was still there, and I kind of wanted to go wide receiver instead of running back just because I had just gone running back. But I also know that Shane Hallam does talk a little highly of Travis Etienne, so maybe we might have a little bit of trade going on here so I could still get my Mac Jones later. I might have to give up a little extra. I don't know. I should have went with Freiermuth. I was really hoping Freiermuth would fall to me in this tight end premium. But Matt, our very own Matt, kind of threw the dagger in my heart there on that one. And then Devontae Smith went. So now I am up, and we are going to look at what we have available. And, Rich, you can help me make my pick, and whoever might be watching right now. Unless you're in this league, I'm not going to listen to you. So I need help at every position. You know, this is pretty much after this draft, I'm going to start selling like crazy, and I'm going to be in total rebuild mode. So I got Rashad Bateman. I really like that. I'm not as scared about the landing spot because everybody talks about how the passing game isn't very good out there and they don't throw the ball that much, but it might be because they haven't had a wide receiver like Rashad Bateman. Kenny Gainwell, I wasn't tickled to death about the landing spot because I like what they already have out there in Philadelphia, but at the same time, I mean, they could definitely use a second. Rondale Moore, from Purdue, going to Arizona, Larry Fitzgerald retiring. I think that that's a great fit. I really do. And we're going to talk about that in a moment too. But so those are kind of my options. You can kind of see my options here. But I think I'm kind of leaning more towards Bateman or Moore.
Bateman.
You think Bateman?
Yeah, because you sit there. Okay, so besides your top three receivers, all these other receivers that got drafted after them, doesn't he have that true path to getting more targets than some of these other receivers on, you know, prime example, what you're talking about with Elijah Moore, but Rondale Moore that went to Arizona. He's going to have more competition over in Arizona than Bateman. I think Bateman, yeah, Watkins went there, but I still think he has the most opportunity besides the top three that's going to produce more in the system going for this first season.
Right. Yeah, I can understand. This is an IDP, so I could go way out there and take the first defensive player, but I don't think I'm going to do that. Brevin Jordan, it is a tight end premium. I'm thinking about that. I do have another pick in three or four picks after this one, but two of the guys that are – after me are very likely to be watching this right now, so I probably should be careful with what I say, but screw it. I don't mind. I also really do like Rondale Moore, so if he's still there in a few picks when I go, I'll probably take him then. But really leaning Rashad Bateman right now. Let me get back to the stream here and see if anybody has jumped in. Pick Trask. Of course, John. This is why I said I'm not listening to anybody that's in the league. I do need a quarterback, and I'm not saying that's a horrible pick, but come on now. You're leading me astray.
Trade with me. That with you guys, but with it being IDP, it's been a while since I've been in an IDP league.
Yeah. Who is this that said trade with me? Because this is the two legit league. I don't think that Uncle Steve is in that one. So
would it be Matt?
Maybe, but anyway, I'm not gonna let the guys wait. I'm gonna go ahead and go with Bateman. That way, they can go ahead and pick. Who knows? Maybe by the end of the show, we can get my next pick in because I'm up again pretty soon. So, so we're gonna go with Rashad Bateman because why not? YOLO.
I would pick.
All right. So, I forgot. I've got to drop some play. So I tell you what, we're going to go on to the next thing. You're going to start talking about the next subject, and I have to go back and drop a player before I can pick him up. So the next item on the list is Tony. Tony to the Giants in the first round. So this one should be good.
Yeah, go very ahead. Interesting.
Yeah, you can go ahead with that one.
Yeah, this is – I really don't know where to go with this because of the fact, you know, everybody was – there was so much, you know, negative and pros everybody talking about leading up to the draft with him. And then of all places he goes to a place that literally has 4, 5, 6, 7 receivers that are just lining up with Galladay. Not to mention they even picked up John Brown. Yeah, he might not do anything, but man, they already have like 4 or 5 receivers on the team. Not, you know, with the tight end, is this more of a special team and just big play potential that they drafted him for? And maybe down the road looking to trade somebody off. I don't know. It's a very odd pick for me.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but who takes a special team specialist in the first round? You know, like, and you could tell too. The fans were not real happy about Kadarius Toney in the first round. He's kind of a one dimensional player, really. So, but then again, I will admit this much. A couple years ago, I was wrong about one DK Metcalf that seemed like a very one-dimensional player in my mind. I was very wrong about him. So it's very possible we could be wrong again and that maybe Gettleman actually knows what he's doing, but that just sounds dirty coming out of my mouth. I don't think that David Gettleman knows what he's doing. So
well, I get one-dimensional and stuff like that, but it's not even that. It's the fact that they already have so many receivers there. Where does he fit in?
It's Gasshole. That's who it was. Okay. What's up, buddy? Glad you're in the chat. Oh, that's Fry. That's Coach Fry. Okay. That's Coach Fry. So we have two coaches. We've got the coach, Coach John Sheps, and then we got another coach, Coach Fry, who's good friends with Coach Sheps. So we call them both coach out of respect, you know. Elijah Moore, that would not have been a bad pick. So I guess that means that's where he's going. He says, come on down. I believe John was right after me. So there you go, John. You're welcome. If he blows up, you owe it all to me. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, we've exhausted Tony. And
let's go on to that next since you did draft him, Etienne.
Yeah. So like I said, I did get the golden opportunity to draft two running backs back-to-back. And in this particular case, I went with Etienne. So
the question is, what's your thoughts on him sharing backfield with J-Rob?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it as a rookie. Okay. Here's my take on James Robinson. And I know that you have two sides to it. You have one side that says dude was a beast. He was efficient. He was good. He did everything that was asked of him. He caught the ball. He ran the ball. He scored touchdowns. And then you have the side that says that he only did it because of the opportunity. He only did it because there was nobody else there. Leonard Fournette looked like a stud for a lot of years in that offense because there was nobody else behind him and all that sort of stuff. I kind of fall somewhere in between. I do think that he's a talented enough back. And I can't say I was wrong about him. I just didn't really know who he was. I didn't do enough research on him, and I totally missed on him, and that's on me. But now that I do know who he is and I have seen him play, he does pass the eye test. Like, he is a talented back, but at the same time, I think he got a lot of that because of the opportunity too. Maybe a little less opportunity might even help him with efficiency even more, you know, like they don't have him out there for every single down. So when he is out there, he's got fresher legs, you know? So I can't say that it's necessarily a bad thing. I'm not lowering James Robinson a lot on my list, but I am still targeting ETN and redrafts later on, just in case, you know, just in case this guy has something. And ETN does not pass the eye test to me nearly as much as James Robinson, but at the same time, I do think that there's opportunity for him to get some year one carries, some year one looks, and he does have the athletic ability to break one or two. So I'm kind of leaning on drafting him now, late in the first, hoping that he has a couple breakout runs, and then maybe I can get something better out of him. That's kind of my play on him. So we'll wait and see. I know some guys are big on ETN, but I'm not one of them that's huge on him. It was just a value pick at this point based on what everybody else feels about him. And maybe I can flip him before the season even starts.
Yeah, see what kind of preseason he has.
Yeah.
See how he's used.
Yeah, Bateman to Baltimore. We just talked about that. I think he will get much more opportunity than most of the wide receivers have in the past with Lamar throwing the ball. I think Lamar feels more comfortable throwing the ball with a wide receiver like Bateman. I think we're going to see that. So I'm happy with my Bateman pick. I'm also happy to get Bateman. Obviously, clearly, I'm not afraid to draft him. You all just saw it live on our channel. But at the same time, I can't say I'm going to be scared to get him in redraft either, because I think he's going to be really cheap in redraft leagues. So
yeah, you got to see that Baltimore also drafted another receiver in Tylan Wallace. So you got two rookie receivers coming in to start out, you know. How does that affect Marquise Brown, you know?
No, that's a fair point, but I think Marquise Brown, oh, I don't know. I think he's been a disappointment. I think there's a reason why Lamar Jackson hasn't been able to throw the ball very much in that offense and why they run it so much. And it's not just because he tucks and runs. He has gotten a lot more accurate since his rookie season, and he can throw the ball. It's just a matter of whether or not his receivers are able to get open. And I don't think that Marquise Brown is necessarily that guy. I think he might wind up being one of the disappointments that we see later on down the road from time to time. So
yeah, he could be a casualty of the way they drafted this year.
Yep. So Zach Wilson and Elijah Moore stack. John's typing in right here. So yeah, you know I love those stacks. You know I love those stacks, John. All right, what do we got next? The Packers just love Aaron Rodgers. Was that you, Rich?
No.
All right, John.
The reason why I'm not even going to talk about that at all is the fact that everybody wants to say he's going to the Raiders.
No, well, you're right. Everybody wants to say that, but it's like my buddy Neil Maligno from the Clock Dodgers likes to say, that the Raiders always get drawn into the conversation just to make the player seem more valuable because they have another. So he feels your love in that one, but my thing is Rodgers is going to Denver. There's no two ways around it. I it's a done deal. From what I understand from actually it's somebody on Twitter that follows me. It's actually going to be on our Broncos episode, but she messaged me, and I'll give her credit in the comments, but she had messaged me and said it's something like June 2nd. If Rodgers gets traded after June 2nd, it costs like $13 million less against the Packers cap or something. And that's the only reason that they haven't made the trade official yet. I don't know. I don't know the details about it just yet, but yeah, so I feel like that's probably when it's going to happen and Rodgers is going to go to Denver. Let's see. Second round thoughts, Rondale Moore. How does he fit in Arizona? Rich, this was yours. Take it away.
Yeah, when I saw this pick at first, you know, a lot of people are liking this pick. It might be a great down the road pick, but I just don't see how he fits in this year. Another team with so many receivers, you know, from Kirk, you know, you got Hopkins there. Now, yeah, I get it. You got AJ Green. He's not going to be a huge factor, but he is going to be out on the field. And I just, you know, they got so many other receivers that they have that's the same kind of receiver. So it was kind of interesting seeing that pick. Now, I got a lot of people, you know, I'm hearing where everybody loves the pick. I just, at first, when I first take a little glance at it, I just don't know how he fits in at first, you know.
Okay, and that Rodgers comment was actually Matt. John put that in there, so Matt helped us out with that one. And to give the credit where the credit was due, it was actually Fallon from Sleeper Wire. I forgot that that's who it was that had said that. So you can find her at @FF_justthegirl and message her about that information, because she's got so much good Denver Broncos intel. She's a big fan of theirs, so she follows them religiously. And she does great work too. So Javonte Williams is next. He is the best. Okay. This was my comment. Javonte Williams is the best running back on the Broncos depth chart by midseason. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I can see it. I mean, you gotta get Gordon out of there eventually and stuff. Now, I don't know if he may, is this a Taylor kind of situation from last year with Taylor, you know, sharing out the gate and everything. And then he ends up getting that bulk load at the end of the season to really lead up for that next year. If that's being the case and stuff like that, you buy now on him and just get him loaded up for the next season.
Or even let somebody else buy now on him. And after he doesn't do very much the first few weeks, you buy on him for a little cheaper than what they paid. And then cash in later. So
somehow it went all last year with all the running backs.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I was getting at. And that's why I was thrilled to get Javonte Williams at the 111 when I did in the two legit league, because I felt like that was already a little lower than he should be going. I kind of had him pegged as like a 107, 108, but the tight end premium helped. I will admit that. And obviously super flex, I was already figuring in the super flex, but we went five quarterbacks instead of just the four that I thought. So that helped Javonte drop a little bit to me as well. But I'm saying right now, if I had to pick one running back between the two of them, I'm going with Javonte Williams. But a lot of people know that I also am not very big on Melvin Gordon. I never really have been. He knows how to find the end zone. For some reason, somehow he can find the end zone. I'll give him credit for that. But for the longest time, his 1.2 yards per carry would absolutely be an embarrassment until he'd get those two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So, so I'm just saying straight up, I think Javonte Williams is the better running back, and you're going to see that shine by midseason. Pat Freiermuth is a sneaky good pick to stash for Dynasty. I believe I already kind of discussed that. Or no, maybe I said I was going to talk about it later. But my point with Freiermuth on this one is that a lot of people like to talk about how Big Ben doesn't like to throw to his tight ends very much. I would argue that he did throw it to Heath Miller quite a bit, and Heath Miller had a couple of decent seasons. And now maybe Freiermuth is that talented tight end that he needs. But I would also argue that who really cares if it's Dynasty and it's a tight end? You already know it's going to take a season or two, maybe three, before your tight end comes around anyway. And by then, Ben Roethlisberger isn't going to be around. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. Young quarterbacks do tend to like to throw to their tight ends a lot sometimes. Maybe you get a guy that targets the tight end like crazy. You're going to get Pat Freiermuth late in the first, early in the second, and you're going to really enjoy, if you have the room to stash him now, obviously. If you've got a taxi squad, you got the room to stash him. You're going to enjoy the rewards that you reap from that in a few years.
Yeah, I like that. I like that pick. When I was discussing earlier, just what you said, Dynasty tight end. He's going to be there for that, you know, that next young quarterback that comes in once Big Ben heads out. So I think it gives that time for him to really go in, learn the system, and be ready when it's time to step up.
There you go. Very good. Any of these third round thoughts you want to talk about?
Trey Sermon.
Trey Sermon.
When Trey Sermon got drafted, I was like, oh, nice pick and everything. But then later on, they end up drafting another running back too, which was Elijah. Was it? Where's it at? Man, Elijah Mitchell. There you go.
All right.
And then, you know, they come in and draft him too. But then I'm saying, okay, well, still that ain't bad. But then you sit there and think about even their running back depth. You know, they got Gallman there. They got Mostert. They got Wilson. You know, tons of running backs in there. Yeah, he's one of those, just like what you were saying, you know, let someone get him now and maybe they drop him later and stuff like that and pick him up for dynasty going down the road.
Yeah, now in that, and like I said, in this dynasty league I'm in, Trey Sermon was taken with the 109. I mean, he was taken before Javonte Williams, you know, so obviously maybe other people are seeing him. I know he's a talented back. I do know that. Obviously, he's clearly a talented back, but at the same time, I just didn't like the landing spot. I think you're going to see a lot of passes. There's going to be a lot of dump-off passes, though, and that could really play in favor with the running backs as well. So it's possible. It's very possible. PPR maybe especially. So the one in the third round that I really wanted to talk about was Davis Mills versus Tyrod Taylor. So Tyrod, I guess, is technically the starter right now for the Houston Texans because we don't know what's going to go on with Watson with all the legal issues and stuff. And to be quite honest, from what we're hearing, if he's guilty of all of those counts, there's no reason he should ever be allowed on the field again, in my opinion. But hey, what do I know? I'm just a guy, right? But Davis Mills comes in as the rookie. Tyrod Taylor isn't anything crazy good. He's not amazing, but he is talented. He is decent. He's had the opportunity before, and if not for a needle to the lungs last season, who knows what could have happened with the Chargers and where Justin Herbert would be right now in his career. But what do you feel about that? Since I threw it down, I'll tell you how I feel first. I think Davis Mills has a chance to at least compete. I think Tyrod wins it as the veteran. And if things go south early, like they tend to do for Houston, Mills might get a chance, maybe midseason, maybe week 8, maybe week 10. So maybe you go a game or two in, maybe Houston wins a game or two with Tyrod, you go in, you sweep in, and you get Mills from someone for real cheap, and then you kind of ride it out and hope for the best. Maybe they're going for a title and that sort of thing. So who knows? What do you think?
I think the Taylor's team this year. I hear a lot of good things about Mills. He's still raw. And I think it's one of those, you know, he needs to sit a year. You know, if they get to the point where they're just seeing, it might be a lot sooner than later and stuff like that, where they need to make that switch. I just think he's one of those potentials where you throw him in there too early, it might ruin him.
Well, we got the professional in the house now, so and the professional, Gary Gillespie, tends to agree with me. He might be a sneaky little fantasy draft option.
Yeah, a little bit about Gary Gillespie. He is my best friend. We do all fantasy drafts together and everything, so him and me always tend to differ on everything we go at. So great guy right here.
So what you're saying is this guy always has that professional opinion, right?
In his mind.
In his mind. All right.
He'll say the same thing about me.
All right. But you do. Right? Yours is legit, right?
Nah. He's there with me and stuff like that. I'm learning from the best being with you guys.
Okay. Yeah. The only thing I've got are dad jokes, but thank you very much, Joseph Clark. I appreciate that. Congrats on Quiddy Pay. I was tickled with it. I really wanted an offensive tackle, not gonna lie. I was really pulling for an offensive tackle, and when they didn't go offensive tackle, I mean, my initial thought was, oh, whoa, wait, that's not an offensive tackle. But then you think about Quiddy Pay and his edge ability and the fact that we're gonna be losing Justin Houston. I mean, this is a really good pick on a Colts team level. So that's really awesome. And then they did not go offensive line. Like they took a tackle in the very last round, and I was concerned. But Uncle Steve actually mentioned to me that they're talking about moving our boy, our guard, out to tackle. So we'll see how that happens. But see how it works out. Trayvon Jenkins, you have any thoughts on Trayvon?
I almost wish Raiders drafted him, but he's gonna be a good lineman.
I mean, the Giants could use all the help they could get from that standpoint. So, all right. I don't know that we really have much else. Do you have anything else you want to throw in? I know you commented something down here in the notes about the Browns defense.
Yeah, I know we don't typically talk about defense much and everything, but you got to think the way what they've done in free agency and everything, and then what they even did with this draft, you know, with their picks and everything. That defense just keeps on getting stronger and stronger. And if you're in a league where defense is part of your team and everything, this is a good team to look at.
Right. Yeah, and they went Greg Newsome in the first round. They went Owusu from Notre Dame in the second round, cornerback, linebacker. So that defense is kind of starting to get better, get younger. Greg Newsome on the outside, man, I do love that pick.
I think they're, like I said, I think they did a real good job as far as what they did in free agency. And like I said, not a lot of teams do, not a lot of leagues do defense anymore. But if you're in a league where they do, I think that this is a good opportunity to jump on one that's going to return some reward for you.
yeah, Joseph. Yeah, you're right. But the thing about the offensive tackle, though, is that second round, there was quite a bit of a run on offensive tackles before the Colts were up in that second round. So that might have had something to do with why they didn't draft him. But if they're going to move Nelson out to tackle, I know it's not ideal for your guard to move to tackle in most situations. But if there's a guard that can do it, I tell you, man, Quentin Nelson is the guy that can do it. So hopefully, if that is the case, if that is their plan, that's what they're doing. If not, I hope that there's some free agent tackles out there that they can still sign and pick up. And I looked at the list earlier. There's still a few out there that still have some years left in them. And but yeah, it's a little bit of a concern, especially since Carson Wentz needs all the help he can get. Yeah, knowing Nelson, he could do it. I hope you're right. Absolutely. And I never rooted for the Giants very much, even with Eli, until you started chatting in here in the group. But I hope your Giants do well as well. I'll trade you Soldier for what? Are you in a league with me as well? Jeez, I'm in too many leagues. I cut way back too. I cut out like 10 leagues this year. I need to refresh this. This still says that John is up. No, John, you're still up. Are you trying to make trades? You're probably waiting on me to get off here so I can check my trades, aren't you? Yeah. All right. Well, I tell you what, then we're going to make John happy. We're going to Cowboys, baby. He got to get in. He had to get in his shot before we left. I think that was a shot to you, Rich.
He's a big Cowboys fan and stuff like that. I think him and Coach would get along good. They'd have a lot to discuss about how they did in the draft as far as defense too, you know.
All right, yeah. Now, don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. I've got the scroll down at the bottom. Don't forget that 5-star Apple review for your shot at free entry at the Frankenstank League. Hit that like for us out. Don't forget, we are really close to finally dropping some episodes on my other show, At Handler Show. That's the Ball Handler Show, where we're going to be talking a little bit about sports of all sorts, and it's going to be sports I don't know a lot about, and I'm trying to learn a little bit more about them. Like, let's say, for instance, pickleball. That one was an interesting episode. It's actually a lot of fun because we had a really cool guest there. Pickleball. His name's Gizmo. You should look him up. But that's it for episode 55. Don't forget to check us out at Toilets to Titles, at Coach Sheps, at Justin FF _, at R Gonzalez RM. And then all the other guys that we were scrolling across the bottom for the entire time. And then of course our other co-host at Nate _Dirt19. Rich, you got anything to say on the way out?
Nope. Great weekend. Let's start over again. And, go to work and then come back and enjoy it next weekend.
All right. Y'all get some rest. We will see you next Saturday. Calm down from your NFL draft hangovers and just enjoy it. Enjoy all your shiny new toys that your team's got.
Hey, Gary, give me a call.